Thank you, everyone, for being here today. It's such an honor and a blessing to be here to open up God's word and for us to gather together as a church to worship, to open up God's word, to know more about God in scripture, to know more about who Jesus is. It's a great opportunity for us to do that, to be refreshed by the word of Christ. And so that's what we're going to do today. My name is Zach. I am a leader at the Waipahu Community Group, and we meet here on Monday nights from 6 to 8. we're actually getting things started back up again, and so this is our first, tomorrow will be our first time in like a month and a half that we'll be meeting, and we're going to have a number of other community groups that meet throughout the week as well. We actually have their cards in the lobby. If you would like to get connected with or contact a community group, that would be a huge way to get connected here at the church. An amazing way where we spend time in God's word, where we pray together, where we have fellowship and we eat together. So a great time for us as a church, not to just meet on Sundays and gather on Sundays, even though that's a great thing, but for us to gather together in community and walk through life together with one another. So let's actually pray together before we open up God's word and walk through John chapter 10. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for everyone here and the ability for us to meet and to gather. Father, speak to us through your word. May we know your voice through your word. May we trust in you and may we see your sacrifice on the cross for our sins, Father. May we recognize and know the ways that we have fallen short. Father, convict us of the truth in your word. Help us see more who you are. Help us run to you and turn to you and depend on you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in John chapter 10. If you could open up your Bibles, that's where we'll be for today. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Throughout the book of John, John is writing this book with the main purpose that we would know and believe in Jesus Christ. It says in chapter 20, I think verse 31, that it says that in knowing who Jesus Christ is, that you will come to know who he is and that you would believe and follow him and that you would have new life. And so as John writes this book, as he puts together a number of the highlights in the life of Christ throughout the book of John, there are a number of things that he specifically points out. And I think John weaves that in, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, these different I am statements that Jesus makes. And as Jesus makes these I am statements, he is saying that he is the God of the Old Testament, the I am of the Old Testament. Way back when Moses saw the burning bush and it says, who sent you? I am sent you. And so as we look into the book of John, as we study what Jesus is saying about himself, we are finding out more and more that Jesus is claiming to be God. Jesus is claiming to be the Savior. And that's what we're going to continue to see throughout this chapter. Leading up to this point too, and Christian did a great job of walking us through and leading us to this point that before this, there was a man on the Sabbath day that was born. He was born blind and Jesus heals him. Jesus heals this man, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders at the time, they were questioning that. They were questioning him and they weren't sure and they're questioning Jesus. This man actually goes before Jesus, goes on his knees in chapter 9, you can read about it, and he worships him as Lord. And not only does that happen, but Jesus uses this as an opportunity to speak to the crowd. And my guess is that the religious leaders are still there as he's speaking to them. And he walks through what we went through last week in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the gate and I am the door, where he uses this image of a shepherd protecting and carrying his sheep. And so as we continue to look in John chapter 10, Jesus continues to use this picture, this image of what it looks like to be a shepherd. And so follow along with me as we reach verse 11. And as we go, we're going to be in verses 11 through 18 in this passage. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that's where we're gonna pause just right there in that verse, because I think that's such a profound statement. Jesus claiming to be a good shepherd, the people would know this. They would recognize what a shepherd is. They would recognize the difficulty, the challenges of being a shepherd. They would even know if they read through the first five books of the Old Testament, they would know a number of people, a number of great leaders that were, played the role or had the job of a shepherd. People like Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and even David. That this is a common job, and we know this too, as a shepherd leads his sheep. This is the picture that Jesus has for us as sheep in desperate need of a leader, a great leader that is going to guide us, that is going to provide for us, that cares for us. And we know that sheep aren't the smartest. And Jesus uses that imagery to show more of, not so much of how weak and lost the sheep are, yes, but more of how great and how amazing and how great this leader is in Jesus. So he uses this illustration, and throughout the Old Testament, if you want to even track, one of my favorite things that I did as I was going through this is I was going back and seeing the development of the word shepherd throughout the Old Testament. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. From the book of Genesis all the way up until now in John, we see that there is a promise of a good shepherd that is to come. David writes about this in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 23, and we're going to go ahead and take a look at that later on throughout the ending of our time here. But they're looking for someone to lead them, a good shepherd, and that's what is written about what the shepherd is. But maybe for you, maybe that's a little bit difficult for you to understand or challenging at times, because maybe we say that God is good. Maybe we say that God is caring. And at times that is very difficult for us to know and to understand. Maybe there's times where we think life is challenging. And you may say, God, you say you are good. You say you love me. You say that you know me, but look at my life. You don't know what's happened. And what makes you so good? Because I don't feel like you're good in this moment right now. And I'm sure we've all been there at that moment in that life, in our life, where we really have to come to terms with what is, when Jesus says he is good, he is the good shepherd, what does he mean by that? And he answers this. Jesus lovingly answers this question here within verse 11. And he says it throughout this passage, but he says, he lays down his life for his sheep. It is in the sacrifice of Jesus that displays the love of the good shepherd for his own. This is a sacrifice that is a willing sacrifice. Life sacrificing, laying down his life for others, caring type of love and care that he has for his own. And that's one of the points that I want to point out here. One of our first point when looking at this passage is that Jesus is a sacrificial leader. He's a sacrificial leader, and not like the type of sacrifice that we may think of. I know that like in our daily relationships, when we talk about like, oh yeah, I'll sacrifice my time, my money, my energy in this way. A lot of times that sacrifice, we think we owe something in return. Like we want something back. Like, oh, now that I've done this, then I should receive this. This is not that type of sacrifice that we see here. This is a sacrifice of nothing in return, Jesus laying down his life for his own. This is a deep type of care and love that the shepherd has, that no one else has. No one else has for us. There's a lot of people in life that can offer you so many things and pursuits in so many ways, but only Jesus showing his love for you through his sacrifice, redeeming us from our sins, cleansing us from our sins, can truly save and satisfy you. This phrase that Jesus says, laying down his life, occurs five times throughout this passage. So it's pretty important. Jesus says it a number of times, and we're going to continue to see this process of a sacrificial leader and how Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. Paul Tripp, one of my favorite pastors, says this, that because Jesus is such a sacrificial leader, there is hope. This is where hope is found. Not in anything else that we do, but in the sacrifice of Jesus. This is true eternal hope. So we look to the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus prophetically proclaiming that he is going to do this, right? This is before Jesus goes to the cross. He is saying what he is already going to do, right? This, for us as the church, looking back and looking at this, this should give us great hope as a church, that we have a Savior who cares for us and loves us so much so that he willingly laid down his life for us. Let's continue to remember that, church. We're going to go into communion later on today. Let's remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and his love for us. And for us, that means we should place our hope in Christ, a Savior that offers a sacrificial love that no one else can offer. Nothing else in the world can offer this type of love and care. We search for this in many places, but the only true type of care and sacrifice and love that we can find is in Jesus. Let's continue on, and we're going to see how Jesus compares himself with the hired hand. So let's look at verses 12 and 13. It says, "The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees the wolf coming, a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep." See, Jesus gives us the picture that he is the good shepherd, but then he paints a contrast to this is who I am even more, and this because of what I'm not, right? I am not the hired hand, not a thief and a robber, like how it's unpacked earlier in chapter 10. But sometimes if the shepherd was busy, they would actually do this. They would hire someone to watch the sheep. And most of the time, if danger arose, if the wolves came, they had no ownership over the sheep. And so they quickly went ahead and left the sheep defenseless. Jesus uses this analogy not to focus so much on the hired hand, but to focus more on who he is. And at the same time, there are things in our life that maybe we experience as hired hands in our life. Like maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've put your hope, your devotion, and your dedication to a person, to a job, a career, whatever it may be, right? If I can just accomplish this, if I can just have this job or this status, if I could just, in Hawaii, if I could just have this house, right? Get into this college, maybe you're in high school, maybe if I could just get into this college or have this group of friends, have this type of career, and maybe you may receive that. Maybe God may provide in that way. But you know what? It doesn't satisfy. And you know this. Because what's the next thing? There's the next thing and the next thing. I need this and more and more. The hired hand lets you down. The hired hand abandons you when you need it the most. Jesus is a person that does not abandon you, that has ownership over you and remains with you. My encouragement is that for us as a church, that we would run to Jesus, who is not the hired hand, who knows us well, that we would go to him with our pain, that we would go to him with our grief, that we would go to Jesus, that we would cry out to him and pray to him for advice and wisdom. That we would even go and celebrate the goodness and evidence of God's goodness in our life. We do that in community group, and I feel like that's one of the best times before we open up God's word, is that we get to pause and reflect and see throughout our group how God has been good to them, how God has shown his faithfulness in their lives. And we get to celebrate, we get to take part and celebrate that together. Our second point is that Jesus is the greatest leader. He shows that and he proves that in this passage, that he is the good shepherd. He can heal you from the hired hands that we have been searching after, we've been going after in our life, that he cares for you. I'm reminded of a verse in Deuteronomy where we think about this idea that Jesus doesn't abandon you and that Jesus is near you. Moses encourages Joshua in the book of Deuteronomy, and he encourages him in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. We have a God that goes with us. He will not leave you or he will not abandon you. This is the same God that we see here, Jesus proclaiming to be, saying that he is not the hired hand. He is the good shepherd that lays down his life for his own. Verse 14 and 15 says this, I am the good shepherd. Makes a statement one more time, right? I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep. Earlier on in this passage, Jesus is also talking about this in a similar way when he refers to himself as the gate and him being the shepherd, that the sheep would know his voice and they would follow him. And not just know his voice and follow him, but later on, if you want to even scroll or go to those earlier verses, it talks about that they would even recognize when it is not the voice of the shepherd. And they would run and flee from that other voice and they would run to the true shepherd. See, Jesus knows us and he knows everything about us, the good and the bad, and that he still cares for us. Our third point is that Jesus is a leader who knows his own. He knows his own. One of my favorite memories of my grandparents, shortly after I moved back to Hawaii from college, I cared for my grandparents. And I got married and me and my wife, Mari, were caring for my grandparents. And actually, my grandma is the reason why I ended up attending Harbor Church, because Harbor was so close by the area and I would go to church with her. And it was just such a blessing. Anyways, my grandma had dementia and she wrestled with, you know, memory loss. And there was a lot of things going on and we were trying to care for her. And it was difficult at times. But you know what? My grandfather, man, he cared for her so well and he knew her. And I remember it was her birthday and, you know, my grandma still has her memory loss, but he provided the best meal for her, like the best dinner. Like he went out and got the best Hawaiian food down the street for her. He got the roasted duck from downtown. He went and got the best apple pie from Foodland and brought it home. And I just remember my grandma just sitting there, just enjoying eating dinner, enjoying being with my grandpa. And my grandpa just had the biggest smile on his face. And I was like, man, he knew her. He knew her well. He knew what she loved. He knew what she cared about. And you know, even in her old age, and both of them, man, he made it an amazing, this birthday that she had. It was just a great time of celebration. I love the way that he was so intentional. And that even in that picture that I share with you, in that brief story, that is a very small picture that we see in the relationships in our life. It's a very small picture of us seeing how much God knows us and loves us and cares for us. And it says that he knows us and that we know him, right? Side note, for me as a teacher, and this is my third week in school. And so right now I'm still learning names of students. I see about probably close to 100 students throughout the week. And so that's actually a really challenging thing, getting to know their names and remembering their names and pronouncing their names correctly, right? And even if I mispronounce a name, there's like, that even adds a little bit of tension to the relationship too. So I know the importance of that. And Jesus, this is just beyond just knowing someone by their name and knowing who they are, right? But knowing everything about them. Tim Keller, one of my favorite guys to listen to who has passed, he said, the gospel is this, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dare believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we had ever dare hoped. And I really think that speaks to Jesus knowing us and us knowing him, that he knows us. He knows and he sees everything about us. He sees our thoughts. He sees our intentions. He sees our anger, our frustration, our sadness, our grief. He sees our joy. He sees it all. And he's not running away. He's not going anywhere. He is staying and he knows you. What an amazing reminder for us that we have a shepherd who knows us, who leads us and cares for us. And I think that's what we all long for in our lives. We long for people to know us well and to care for us. And so for us, as we look at this verse, an encouragement for us is to, number one, listen to the voice of Christ. Go to his word. That is the main source that we need to go to as a church. If we want to know more of the shepherd's voice, if we want to know him, he knows us. If we want to know him more, then we got to go to his word. We got to read his word. We got to spend time with him, set aside good time with him to be in his word. As a church, we're going through a book titled Everyday Gospel. And it's devotionals that are paired with a year reading plan of going through the Bible. And I would encourage you, if you haven't gotten connected with that, let us know on how we can best get you connected with or show you where that resource is so that you can join us as a church as we read through the Bible in a year, as we know more about who God is through reading through the Bible as a whole. And I think at the same time, I think we should ask ourselves a good question of, well, what are we listening to? Who has your ear? Maybe take a look at your phone. What's the podcast that you listen to? What are the shows that you watch on TV? What's the music you listen to? What are the apps you use the most? Like, who has your attention? Who has your ear? That is a good indication of what you're listening to and who you're going to. May we be a group of people that go to God's word as the main source so that we can know the voice of the shepherd. Our second thing, our second form of encouragement is that we would lead others. If God places you in a position of leadership, whether that's here in church, whether that's at home in your family, whether that's on a team, at class or at school, if God places you in a position of leadership, may we be a group of people that would lead others to the voice of Christ and point others to the voice of Christ and not our own voice. That is a huge temptation that I have, is to get people to follow my voice and what I have to say instead of the voice of God and the voice of Christ in scripture here. May we point other people to know God that way. If you are a parent, train your children to know the voice of God. If you're a teacher, train your children to know the voice of God, your students. Like instead of, and I've dealt with this a lot, instead of telling them to be kind and compassionate, like actually show them. No, in Ephesians 4:32, it literally says to be kind and compassionate to one another, just as how Christ has loved you. We can use God's word to tune our children and our students and those who are with us, even the children in this church, to follow the voice of God, because there's going to be a day where we're not going to be there. They're going to have to look to the voice of Christ when we're not there. May we point other people to the voice of Christ. Other ways that we can do that is through joining community groups here at church. We can point others to Christ through meeting together weekly or joining journey groups or being a part of the women's brunch that's happening in a few weeks. There are so many opportunities for us to grow and meet together and grow in our relationship with one another as a church through meeting together beyond just Sundays. Yes, Sundays. Yes, gathering together and worshiping together, but also finding time for us to meet throughout the week. We can join others on mission with Christ. We are not meant to be Christians alone on our own. We are called to be believers in community. And I would encourage you, even if you're visiting, to get connected with a church and get connected with a group, a community group, part of your church that meets throughout the week. Let's go ahead and take a look at verse 16. Jesus makes this statement, "But I have other sheep that are not in the sheep pen, and I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. Then they will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus is speaking to a group of ethnic Jews, right? And what he is saying here is that this message, who he has more people that the gospel is going to go out to and reach and save beyond just this area, beyond just where they are right now. that the gospel go out beyond Israel throughout the world and make its way to the Gentiles. I feel like Jesus is even pointing to the fact that that's actually going to happen later on. It prophetically talks about that. And when Jesus talks to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them in the name to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is a greater mission that Jesus calls, that he's explaining. And that's another, the next point that I want to point out is that Jesus is a leader with a much greater mission. He has a greater mission. And church, we are part of that great mission still, because the gospel was spread throughout the world, made its way here to Hawaii, and spread throughout Hawaii way before we even were born and existed. And it's still present here. We are part of that legacy. We are part of the church today carrying out that greater mission here. And there will be people that come after us that are also going to be a part of that greater mission, that the gospel is not meant or is meant to go out to our communities, to our areas. A few ways that we can do that is through this recent ministry, Working Hands Waipahu. If God has placed that on your heart, if you saw that announcement and you're like, yeah, I would love to get connected and get to know our community more and figure out what are the needs in this community? How could I serve the needs within this community while also weaving in the greatest need, which is the gospel? How can I do that? Well, Working Hands Waipahu is an amazing ministry that we're getting rolling and starting. You can talk with Auntie Donna if you have a few more questions. She's already got a team going and they've been walking through different areas and meeting people and sharing with them where we are and that we're here to care for this area of Waipahu. Maybe God's placed it on your heart. Maybe you've heard a little bit about our missions, partnering with churches in the Philippines, with Redeemed Christian Fellowship in Manila. Maybe God has placed that on your heart, and maybe you're thinking about, maybe what would that look like for me to maybe support that or maybe even join a team that goes there and serves alongside them, learning about how they share the gospel where God has placed them. It's pretty amazing. It's honestly so encouraging when I'm there and I return back. It gives me more of a greater desire to share the gospel here in Waipahu when I'm there and I'm with them. Verse 17 and verse 18, we're going to take a look at these two last two verses. It says this, "This is why the Father loves me." Jesus is continuing to talk. "I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. And I have received this command from my Father." Our last key point in this passage is that Jesus is a faithful leader. He is a faithful leader that is faithful to the commands of his Father. We also see this played out throughout this passage too, that Jesus refers to this relationship between him and the Father as a very close and intimate relationship. And he actually uses that as a way of explaining how much the shepherd loves his sheep. And we see Jesus prophetically point to his resurrection, not only his death, but also his resurrection here in this passage. He mentions this, and I think I've said this, but he mentions this around five times that he's going to lay down his life, really emphasizing the sacrifice of Jesus. That this is the gospel when we look at it, the sacrifice of Jesus. Christ willingly laid down his life for our sins, being obedient to the Father. He was the only one who had the right to lay down his life. He faithfully served his Father, but he didn't just lay down his life. He rose from the grave. He proved that he is God, proving that he is the real and true and only good shepherd for us. And the Holy Spirit lives within us, empowers us as believers with that same power to share the message of the gospel where he's placed us, wherever he's placed us. He has equipped us for good works to reflect his goodness of love, justice, and mercy to the people around us. And as we look into the book of Revelation, Jesus refers to himself again as the good shepherd or the shepherd here. It says, "For the lamb who is at the center of the throne will shepherd them. He will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the good shepherd that we have, a shepherd that knows us, that it cares for us, that is there. So when you're tempted to forget that Jesus is good, when you're tempted to forget that he is a good shepherd that knows you, that cares for you, that is calls you on mission, and not just mission on your own, but mission with others to share this message, to share the gospel. When you're tempted to do that, run to his word, run to the truth in his word, run to this passage, and you can continue to read it to yourself, hopefully out throughout this week, about Jesus being a good shepherd. David also writes of this in Psalms 23, and I'm going to read this chapter for all of us to hear. And I think it would be great for all of us, maybe parents with your kids, or for all of us to memorize this chapter as we reflect on this idea that Jesus is the good shepherd, that he is the leader that we're looking for. Psalms 23 is this, Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right path for his name's sake. And even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Jesus is what we need. He is the only one who really knows us and provides for us every single day. He is the one that refreshes us, the one that leads us through his voice, through his word. And we have nothing to fear because he is there with us. He comforts us and protects us. Our shepherd provides for us and honors us in more than we could have ever planned and thought for ourselves and imagined. Christ provides for us. And it's not just providing for the here and now, but he has provided a place for us that he has promised. We have been promised a home with the Father forever. And that is the hope that we have as believers too, is to be in the presence of our Savior. That when Jesus lays down his life for us, when he takes our sins to the cross, when we remember the sacrifice that he has made and we are renewed and refreshed and freed from our sin, we see a Savior that we can put our trust in and we can put our hope in, and that has provided an eternal hope for us beyond just the here and the now, but in the future. So for us today, let's look to Jesus, the good shepherd, the leader of our lives. May we go to his word. May we hear his voice. May we point others to know the good shepherd. And may he continue to equip us as a church to reach not just this area, but beyond Waipahu, in other areas, in other communities, wherever he's placed us. Let's pray together as a church.